18. The song she sang, in my heart, I feel like it goes with the message. This Bible verse says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that song's about a vision of heaven, about one day where we're going to be. And is there anybody that's never heard me preach before? Anybody's never heard me preach before? Nope, everybody's heard me. Good. Fix it if they didn't, I got a whole front row for you to sit in. We got reserved for you. But I was thinking about the scripture when I saw Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I was thinking about this today when Kevin called me. While he was preaching this morning, I knew he had a cold. I knew he wasn't feeling good. And I just had the feeling that he might call me today. And sure enough, while we were out eating, he called. And I always look for the opportunity to preach the Word of God, and I always want to be ready in the moment. But I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about a story I told in Sunday school when I taught some of these Sunday schools, and I was thinking about there's this pilot on this plane. This one day, this plane was packed full of people, and they had about an hour and a half delay. And they told everybody, if you don't mind, you can get off the plane and relax your feet and just walk a little bit until it's time to go. And so most everybody got off but this one businessman and this one lady and her dog. He looked over and he noticed, oh, she must be a blind lady. So he looks at her, and he's like, well, okay, she can't see anything, so she doesn't want to get off. The pilot comes out of his area and comes to her and says, Sherry, would you like to walk and relax a little bit? And she said, no. She said, but Rover would like to have a walk, so you could take him for a walk. So the pilot gets the dog and walks off the plane with the dog, or CNI dog. Everybody that was off the plane looks back and notice this pilot with a CNI dog. Now they understand why there's a delay with this flight. Everybody begins judging it. Everybody begins thinking, man, I don't want to fly on this plane. This guy is blind. I don't want to fly with a blind pilot. And a lot of us, when we look at stories like that, we think, you know, we visualize what's happening. See, all these people, they visualize, you know what if we got a crash land? He can't see where he's at. So it's going to be devastating. And so we all visualize things. But when I thought about this, scripture says, where there's no vision, the people perish. And in our church, if our church does not have a vision of where we're going, this church will no longer be in 10 to 20 years from now. Churches are dying quickly. I mean good churches. Now, there's some phony churches that are growing up that are just playing church that aren't really doing what God wants us to do to reach souls. But Kevin has a vision for our church, and that's why we have this new building out here unfinished, because he has a vision for our church to have 600-700 people. Can y'all vision that? Y'all are like, well, that's too many people. I don't want to go to a big church. I want a small mountain church. I just want us few and no more. And that's the way we all look at life a lot of times. If you don't have the same vision that your man of God has, this church will fall apart. That's why you see pastors get nominated out of a church. It's because he has a vision for the church to grow this way, and other people have a vision for the church to grow that way, and it's a split. And when that church splits, all of a sudden you got one group leaves with the preacher, and one group stays. And then you got half of the group there. And then next thing you know, they vote in a new pastor. But then the young group, maybe that's still left, says, you know what, I don't want him. I want a younger preacher. And they voted over us. So now you got another great percentage that left the church because they didn't want the man of God they voted in. Next thing you know, you have a group of people where you got maybe 20 people in a church. I've been to many churches where there's just 20 people. And there's only one that was under 30. And it was me at the time. I'm 44 now, so I'm getting older. But at the time, I mean, there was no one under 30. And then I found out there was no one under 50. Everybody in that church was in their 60s and above. And that happens regular. Don't think that can't happen here. We have a great church. We have a great amount of older people, a great amount of younger people, and in the middle. We have a great blend. and exactly what God and this church needs. But the problem is if we're not all got the scripture and we say, where there is no vision, the people perish. If we don't have the same vision that God's given Kevin, this church would no longer be. I looked at this and I thought, you know, in my own life, you know, this pertains to everything. Everything for your marriage. If you don't have the same vision as your husband, he has a different vision. I visualize things all the time. And I thought, you know, what if a husband, he's thinking, you know what, honey, when we get older, we're going to retire. We're going to move up in the mountains, get us a cabin by the lake. We're going to have 140 acres that I can hunt on anytime I want to. And we're just going to have a blast. And she goes, but I want to live in a condo by the beach. And their visions are totally different. You don't think that marriage is going to struggle? What's going to happen? There's going to be a divide there all the time. She's wanting to go one way. He's wanting to go another. And there's always going to be that pull and that strain there. The kids feel it. Your friends and family around you feel it. And most of all, you both feel it. It's a very vital thing for us as a couples to unite together and say, you know what? I have the same vision as my spouse. And love to have the same desires as one another. And in our church, if we don't desire the same thing as one another, we're going to fall apart. We will. And I was thinking, you know, this is when you go into a relationship, it's like baking a cake. It's like baking a cake. I heard this years ago by an older preacher. He's passed away now. And so I'm going to use his illustration. He talked about baking cake. He said, when you go into a relationship, if it's a church relationship, a business relationship, or if it's a spousal relationship, he said, it's not 50-50. People say, well, I put in 50, he puts in 50, and now we got 100%. It is not 50-50. It is 100% and 100% if you want a marriage to be as perfect that it can be. You got to give all. Don't hold back on your marriage. Don't hold back on your church. Don't hold back on nothing. We give everything. And here's the thing about when it's like baking a cake, what it is, it's like she's been given one of the eggs. He's been given another egg. She's given some of the sugar. He's given some of the sugar. She's some of the flour, some of the flour. And they give the ingredients are split amongst both of them. And God puts the pot before them and says, here's my instructions. Here's my instructions for your marriage. Here, let's do the first part and see what we want to do. Sometimes we get one spouse that's like, well, I've read that already. Let's go to the end. You can't put it in the oven yet. It's not mixed. You can't go to the end yet. The other spouse is not ready. So sometimes what you got to do, you got to stop, go to the beginning. It says, get two eggs, okay? Get a stick of butter. Okay, get your things. Get whatever you need, whatever ingredients it is. And she gives her part. You give your part at the same time. She gives her part. You give your part. And it can't be one spouse standing there and say, you know what? I think she put enough sugar in there already. I don't want that sweet. I want a good marriage, but I don't want it that sweet. That's ridiculous. And so she might hold back a little bit of sweetness. Or he might hold back a little sweetness. And then you know what? When God said for you to have that one that I know is going to tickle your taste buds, he knows what you need. He knows exactly what he's doing. And see, when we hold back, and then at the end of our lives, when our cake is almost completely done before we meet God, it's almost ready. And see, what you're doing, if you've been married for 20, 30, or notice I've been married 20. So if you've been married 40 years or more, basically where you're at the decorating years of your cake. Your cake's been cooked. Man, your cake is beautiful. Now what you're doing, you're spreading on that icing. Man, you're decorating it. You're making it look good for that day. And you know what? And what it does when young people see older couples that stuck through the hard times, it makes younger people think, you know what, we can do it too. We can do it too. And we can. And a lot of times we are so gung-ho about doing it our way. We want to run church our way. We want to bring maybe strobe lights in one day. Man, we have strobe lights in here. Wouldn't that be cool? You know, but is that what God wants? Is that what God wants? Does God want a party atmosphere in a church? Does God want us to worship God, or do God want us to worship music? What does God want? And a lot of times, we got to keep our visions focused on where God put us. A lot of times, we get all mixed up, and we're trying to do things our own way. See, I think a lot of times we're trying to wait on God to do something super big in our church, but God's waiting on us to do something. We're saying, God, if you will move, I'll move. God's saying, if you'll move, I'll move. And we get it mixed up. We're saying, God, you do this, then I will do such and such. God, if you'll be faithful to my family and heal my wife that's got cancer, then God, you know what? I'll serve you. God says, serve me, and I might heal her, and I might not. And a lot of times we think just because we get saved, God's supposed to just miraculously just take our family and just heal every wound that we ever had. You know what? My wife and I have been through the thick and thin, and it's all our own faults, not God's fault. God knew we were going to go through them. God tried to tell us not to do things. God tried to tell us, save your money for a rainy day. God tried to tell us, pay that bill. Don't go out to eat this time. And you know how you are, young couple. You think you know it all. This happened back when Emily was 3 years old. And this is kind of a personal story. And sometimes I hesitate to tell it because it does embarrass Kelly because of our past. But about 13 or almost a little over 13 years ago, Emily's barely 3 years old. And me and Kelly had the biggest fallout ever. I know y'all think we got a perfect marriage, but we had a fallout. I'm telling you, it was bad. Neither one's ever cheated on each other. We never done any of that stuff. Never did drugs, drinking, nothing. What it was, is money. We were struggling financially. We had no money. The economy was bad. A customer we worked for went out on vacation, and when we got done with the job, they weren't going to pay us for 2 weeks because they weren't going to be back for 2 weeks. So we had no money to pay our light bill or water bill, no groceries, no nothing. I come home, and a typical wife, she wants security. She wants you to take care of her. And she knows the power bill's ready to be due. She knows her babies are hungry. And she starts going after you. She says, where's the money? Where's the money? And I blew up at her because I'm like, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. And you know how it is. You get so angry at each other. And you start pulling between each other. And next thing you know, she said a statement. And I was so angry. And I was yelling at her at the same time. We were screaming at each other. Believe it or not, Kelly can get angry. She's a awesome, beautiful woman, but she can get angry, I'm telling you. And she had, she was yelling, and I was yelling, and I said something, and while I was saying it, she was saying, I hate you the way you treat me. And all I heard, because I was yelling so loud, was, I hate you. I didn't hear the last part. I got mad, pushed her on the bed. I slammed the door. Emily grabbed my hand at the front door because I was leaving. I grabbed the keys. I remember Emily grabbed my hand and said, Daddy, don't go. And I pushed her aside, my little baby. And I left, and I was headed for Atlanta. I wasn't coming back. I was done. I was done. I was over being married. I was over all the tragedy we've been through. I've been over all the hard times, all the struggles. I was done. I got halfway to Calhoun, Georgia, and they kept calling me. Kept calling me. Finally, I just wouldn't answer. It's like 20 or 30 times they kept calling. Then finally, they called when I got close to Calhoun, Georgia. I picked up the phone. I said, what? And Emily goes, Daddy, I need you. And I began to cry. And I knew that my little baby girl needed her daddy. I didn't come home because I just loved my wife. I came home because my little girl needed me. God used my baby girl. God used my little girl to bring us back to where we should have been. I lost a vision of my marriage. Where there's no vision, the people perish. I lost a vision of the good times. I've lost a vision of how much I love that woman. I lost the vision of how much I want to grow old with her. I lost the vision of how I wanted to see our kids grow up and have grandchildren that we could spoil and send back to their parents. And I forgot about all that stuff. You know, I was looking at my circumstances. I got my eyes off of the Savior. I got my eyes off of what was real. And when I came back home, I came home with an attitude. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm here for the kids. I'm going to stay home. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to make some money. I'm going to give it to her, and I'm not touching any of it. It's hers. And that's not a healthy marriage. But you know what God was doing? God was working to save somebody. I remind you, I was a preacher at the time. A preacher of the gospel. Left his wife and little baby. Come to find out, she was pregnant with Alyssa also. So I left two little babies. So I'm leaving this wife. But I come home, and I decided I was going to stay. I was going to work it out and do whatever God wanted me to do to work this out. Things got worse. Financially got bad. I mean, it got super bad. We were losing our house, our first house we ever bought. We were losing it. Going to be bankrupt. We're going to lose everything. And I'm so discouraged, so defeated. Had to move in with in-laws. It was disastrous. But you know what? God was working in the background to save me. God knew that he had to get me to rock bottom for me to have a vision that I would not perish with. See, I could not see heaven, what she was singing about. I could not see Christ. Even though I preached the gospel about Jesus Christ, even though I believed the word of God, even though I showed so many people how to be saved, and I witnessed to people and they got saved, but I was lost. But I saw how God took that. And one day, when I came to the end of myself, and most of y'all have heard it when y'all heard my testimony. But I remember going on a job over in Chattanooga area. I remember I was down at my wit's end. I was ready to kill myself. I wanted to die. I thought, you know, I have $250,000 life insurance. If I die today, then my wife will have that money, and she'll be okay. She'll make it. God will make a way for her. And I was done because I knew that I was lost. God revealed to me that I was lost and unsaved 2 days before this. God revealed it. While I was preaching, God revealed to me that I was lost. And I realized that I wasn't saved. And that day, I remember going on a Wednesday to this riverbank side looking off. It's in the winter. The water was down pretty low. But I could tell the water was still pretty deep. But I didn't care how deep it was. I was thinking, you know what? All I got to do is jump in and just take a deep breath. In my life, all I wanted to do, I stood there just shaking, and all of a sudden my phone rang, and I picked it up and I said, "What?" And she goes, "Are you okay?" I said, "No." And she's like, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Kelly, I'm done and she goes, "Are you leaving us?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm gonna end my life." I said, "You deserve a good man. You deserve a good husband that will love you and cherish you and that will love God and follow God." That day, I almost ended my life. And for the second time, by a phone call, God stopped me from destroying me. God helped me turn my life towards Jesus. That day, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. That day, I got saved. I've been changed ever since. It's been 13 years. This March will be 14 years in March that I've been saved. What a blessing. What God can do. See, I had lost the vision that God has given me in life that I could not see what God was doing. I could not see how God was working. See, a lot of times we think things are happening to us, but really they're happening for us. No matter how bad it is, your house burned down. It didn't happen to you. That happened for you. God's trying to help you move to this other part that he wants you to go to a higher place, but you won't go, and so God's removing something to get you to move. And you say, but what if God takes a little child, as precious as they are? I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to lose a child. We've lost 5 in miscarriage, but to lose a child that you gave birth to, I couldn't imagine. Lose a spouse or a friend that's who you're close to, I couldn't imagine. But you know what? Don't think it happened to you. It's happened for you and through you. God's moving in a way to change your life, to make you a powerful Christian, that you could win somebody. Because if that never happens to you, you don't lose that child. What if there's somebody comes in our church and they're weeping, they just lost a child, and you've been through the fire, you've been through that battle, and you've came through it for 10 years, and God's been faithful, and man, you lived for God through it all. Then that family comes in and they're crying because they just lost a child. Everybody that has not lost a child that way cannot really comfort them in the way that you could. God took that child so that you would be that right comforter in the time of need for these individuals that would need the help they needed. But a lot of times we lose vision. We don't have the vision of what God's doing. I was thinking today, as this, I love doing puzzles. I know everybody here has probably done a puzzle sometime in your life. Most people start with the outer edges, the flat edges. You know, I always picture the puzzle when I think about today. I think, you know, the four corners, you got God, the Father, God, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. The four corners of our salvation and our lives. And we're everything in the middle. And, you know, I thought, what's this outer rim, these other flat edges then? If that's all that, I thought, you know what that is? That's the backbone of the church. That's the older folk that have stood through the thick and thin of the churches. Like our puzzle of this church that God's building through Kevin, our pastor, you know, that puzzle's being built. These people that are coming in and joining and joining and joining. And here's the thing. You say, but I've seen people leaving. I've seen people leaving. They don't belong to this puzzle. They don't have the same vision. They don't have the same vision imprinted on them for this puzzle. They belong somewhere else, and that's okay. It's okay. We only want the pieces here that God brings here. And here's the thing. There's some people, you know, when you ever do a puzzle, have you ever tried that? You see a piece and you think, this blue sky, this is blue sky, and there's nothing other on it but blue. And you're like, that's got to fit there. And so you're trying to work and trying to force it in there. And you finally get it in, but you notice on the edge of the circle, there's a little gap there. And it's a little crooked. But here's what you do. If you force yourself into a place just because you think you have the vision right, and you try to force yourself in position, maybe teaching, maybe doing something you're not supposed to do, and you try to force yourself in that position, you know what you do? You wean somebody else out of their opportunity to be where they're supposed to be. Maybe you got in a position, you're trying to teach a Sunday school or whatever, and you're trying to do something that God's not called you into, and then there's somebody God's wanting to move in that place, but you won't get out of your position. You think, no, I like where I am. But sometimes we need to be pulled back up and set aside, and let God. Because if you're meant to be where you're going, God will make a way. It fits. It fits like a glove. It fits perfect. And I was thinking about this one because I love doing the ones with the hot air balloons. I had one. I remember years ago I had one with a hot air balloon, and I got all the. I'm weirdo. I do the inside pieces first. I don't do the outside edges. I leave them for simple people to do. But I do the inside, my wife, that is. So I do the inside pieces with the balloon, with the colors. Man, I put all them colors together, all the balloons together. They're starting to look great. And man, it's looking nice. And I got some of the colorful trees in there and stuff. And I'm getting the stuff going, and it's almost done. And as soon as it's almost done, you know what everybody else wants to do? They want to jump in. They want to help finish the puzzle. And then we notice one piece that had a dirt road on it. And it had a pile, it looked like a pile of, if you look close, it looked like a pile of trash on the side of the road. I'm like, psst, that's stupid. I mean, here's the thing about it. Sometimes you might be looking at somebody in this church thinking, you know what, they're a bunch of dirt. She's a piece of trash. He's a piece of trash. We don't want them here. But you know what? When our puzzle gets almost done, when God's about done with this church and rapture us out, God's going to look at our puzzle and say, look at it. It's missing a piece. That one insignificant piece that you said was a nobody ruins the whole picture if they're not there. That one person that you say, I don't think they belong here. I think they need to go down to church down the road where they'll be wanted. They might belong here more than you know. And if that one piece is gone, no matter how ugly that piece is, the puzzle's incomplete. There's been many times I've had to go to the store and buy the exact same puzzle I've already bought just to find that one stupid piece that I've lost. And you know what happened? After I bought it, I found the piece. I put it in. I put Mod Podge on it to save it so it's going to be perfect and it will not ever be ruined again. Turn around, try to clean your house, found the piece under the couch. So now I wasted $12 for a puzzle that I really didn't need. But it's a lot of times because we don't have that vision that God's given us in our lives. You got to have a vision, church. We got to have a vision. We got to have a vision for Juana's. Juana's will die out if we don't have teachers over there that have a vision for those young kids to be saved. Whatever department you work in, if you don't have a vision for this choir, you don't need to be up there. I don't care how good you sing. If you don't have a vision for this choir to grow and become you don't have to become a superstar or have to become some professional. See, these two are fighting already over it. But see, it's a division. But I tell you, if you don't have the same vision, it's going to perish. It's going to fall apart. You know, my wife and I, and Scott, we were talking the other day, my wife and I, we're like, you know what, Scott's amazing. I think he could become a professional singer. I do. He's got an awesome voice. And I'm not trying to boost him up or nothing, but I do. I mean, we listen to some of these singers when he sings some of these songs, and then we listen to the real person that sings it. I'm like, that guy don't know how to sing. What's that guy doing? Scott's doing it right. That guy needs to get off of here and let Scott do it. And it's a world of difference. And I don't know that guy. I don't know how he sings, but I feel like Scott sings with his heart, man. I do. I mean, and if we all would have a vision, it's because he has a vision for the passion and love for what he does. We all got to have a vision for it. If you don't have a vision, everything else you do is obsolete. It's like Peter, see what chapter that is. It's in Matthew 14 when Peter walks on water. Peter walked on water. What happened? He saw a vision. What was it? It was God. He saw Jesus walking on the water. It wasn't just a vision. It was actually Jesus. And he said, Jesus, if that's you, Lord, bid me to come out on the water. And see, the thing about it, he had a vision. And he saw the vision of God. And he saw God standing there. And he said, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come. And he said, come. That's all he said. Come. Well, come on. And so Peter steps out on that water and begins to walk on water. But when Peter got his eyes off the vision and looked at the circumstances, he sunk and fell again. That's the same thing in our marriage. Your marriage, you know what? God gives you a vision in your marriage, and your marriage is going good, and you're like, you know what? I know my husband's failed, and he's done this, and he's done that. Or I know my wife has done this, or my wife has done that, and they've disappointed me. But if you would keep your eyes on the Master, on the Savior, and you have a vision to point towards God. You see, my goals in my life, my vision in my future, my retirement, everything that I have has to be right in the center where God is, right where he is. And that's, you got a cross. Mine's on this side of the cross on the top bar. Kelly's is on this side. If her vision's way out here, we're not going the same direction. We might be going the same direction, but she's going further away from me because I'm going to the cross. If we're both going to the cross, we're getting closer throughout our marriage. We're getting closer the whole time. We're getting close to that vision that God's given us. And you wonder why you're growing further apart from your spouse. Because you got a vision over here, he's got a vision over here, and you both are going away from God and each other. But we got to have a vision for a purpose. God's trying to do something in his church. He is. What else does God got to do to get us to move? You know, it's hard. I understand. There's sometimes I want to come to this altar and I want to pray, but you know, sometimes I think that because this happened to me before. I sat on an ink pen, had a big old ink spot around my booty. I thought, Lord, help me. And I go to the altar, and I'm down there praying, and all my wife talked about when I came back is you had this ink spot on your booty. I thought, really? So now I'm embarrassed, and so I'm tore up, and I thought, you know what? I don't want to ever go down there again because I'm thinking, is it there? Is it there? I don't want to stand up and say, hey, check me out. And but you know, it's comical. But you know, we have such the dumb excuses for not coming to talk with God. You know, one excuse is, you know what, I don't mind coming down here as much, but I hate when I have to go back. Cause then you have people that are going. And the whole time you're like, quit staring at me. I'm trying not to cry. I'm trying to, you know, be spiritual and all. But, you know, and we have such a dumbest excuse for not doing stuff. But you know what? One day we're going to stand before God for everything we've done, the small and the great. Now, are we going to be saved? Yes, once saved, always saved. You can't lose it. But the problem is rewards that are going to be vanished away because of us not being where we should be. We lose positions because we're not got the same vision that we ought to have. Don't lose your vision, church. Don't lose that opportunity that God can change us and make us. If you want to know what your vision needs to be, because you're like, man, I just love my church, and I really don't look at nothing in the future of this church growing and getting bigger and better. You know what? You need to go sit with Kevin and say, hey, Kevin, what's the vision God's given you? What's that vision that God's put on your heart? Because you're my man of God. And I want to make sure that my heart lines up with your vision. And when you do that, like when Rebecca stood up and all that money was raised, we all saw her vision. Not her vision, but his vision. Because her vision was God's vision. When we saw that vision, we all started giving from the abundance of our hearts. Started giving. You know why? Because we all had that one unit purpose. And when we do that, we become together as a strong church. And if we will all constantly get in the Word of God, make sure you got the same vision, make sure your spouse and you are on the same page. And that's hard sometimes. Sometimes you're so busy. The world, the devil loves busy. I mean, my goodness, that's why we got cell phones. Like I was telling him, I said, he's the prince of power of the air. I mean, that's the cell phones, radio, TV, internet. The devil wants to control those things to keep your mind occupied so you won't spend time with your husband or your spouse or your wife, whatever. And the devil just wants to come between everything. He wants you to spend more time on your devices than with this device that God's given us, his word. If you don't have the vision of what God's given this church, it might be you need to look at the recipe. Start reading about it. You know, when you get a box of a cake mix, it shows a picture of what the cake should look like when it's done. And you expect it to look like that when it's done. And so you're like, man, I like that. That's what I want it to look like. So look in here and see what God wants a Christian to look like. And say, you know what, God, that's the vision. That's what I want to be, a soldier for Christ. And when you get that vision in your heart and you start putting in those things God's put in you, it'll change the world for you. It'll change everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, God, we thank you so much for your blessings, Lord.